WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump tonight delivering an address to a joint session of Congress. He will discuss what's happened since he first got elected, including recently imposing tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and China, and the pausing of all U.S. aid to Ukraine. It's still unclear how the Democrats will respond to the speech. Many in Congress have been trying to come up with a strategy to demonstrate their disapproval. They have reportedly been warning not to bring props. Some Democrats will boycott the speech, and others have given their seats in the gallery above the chamber to recently fired federal workers, including many veterans who have just been let go from various government posts. Stocks dropping again on Wall Street as companies and investors react to the tariff decision. Severe weather across the eastern half of the country, some of it expected to disrupt Mardi Gras celebrations in New Orleans. Pope Francis resting after two episodes of acute respiratory distress on Monday. The Pope now off non-invasive mechanical ventilation. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Part of our listening area is under a winter storm advisory through tomorrow evening. An active storm with rain, wind, and possibly more snow will come through the area, bringing soaking precipitation and high winds of up to 50 miles per hour. Much of our area will see rain, maybe turning to snow late Wednesday. More details are on the way with our Civic Media meteorologists. Looking at the past week, gas prices were down. Melissa Kay has the story.
Average gas prices fell 5.1 cents in the last week for an average of 2.80 today. This is 7 cents lower than a month ago and over 45 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say forecasting fuel prices remains challenging as geopolitical tensions intensify. The promised tariffs from the Trump administration could not only create economic uncertainty, but also impact what some motorists pay at the pump in the weeks ahead. This comes on top of the ongoing concerns about the Russian invasion of Ukraine and discussions of a potential deal to end the war. OPEC has signaled its intent to stabilize the market. However, policy decisions from the White House could introduce further uncertainty. Regardless, nearly every year sees a seasonal spring increase, pushing prices higher ahead of summer.
Meanwhile, between Monday and Tuesday morning, some gas stations in New Wisco have increased the prices of a gallon of gas up to 20 cents more than it was over the weekend. The southbound ramp to Wisconsin Avenue and Highway 96 on Interstate 41 in the Fox Cities is now closed and will be through fall. This is part of the expansion of I-41 from four lanes to six lanes between Appleton and De Pere. More ramp and lane closures are expected this construction season. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks in Atlanta to take on the Hawks. Bucks guard Kyle Kuzma dealing with a sprained right ankle after accidentally stepping on the foot of Giannis Antetokounmpo during Saturday's game in Dallas. But Kuzma pleased they've won six of their last seven games.
We're moving in the right direction, and we've had some hiccups. That's to be expected, but you know, I had a coach in the past. He's always said that the regular season is just rehearsal for the playoffs. That's just the approach that we kind of have to have, and obviously you want to win, and every game is going to have a different challenge.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Reds 5-4 in Cactus League action. Left-hander Aaron Ashby had to leave the game with apparently a strained oblique muscle. The Brewers have signed veteran lefty Jose Quintana to a one-year deal. NFL, the Packers agreeing to a two-year deal with linebacker Isaiah McDuffie, worth around $9 million with incentives. McDuffie, a sixth-round pick for Green Bay 5 years ago. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy with showers today in the mid-40s. Tonight, rain likely, an inch or more possible with a low of 35. Rain will change to snow tomorrow with snow likely tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening. There could be a few inches of accumulation with strong northerly wind gusts creating blowing snow at times on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan and filmmaker Craig Kinnett, who joins me in the studio. That's right, folks. He's going to fight Green Bay traffic. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Tuesday, March 4th. Today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk is $3.18, up a penny from yesterday. And the average price of a dozen large eggs in Wisconsin, $6.24, also up a penny since yesterday.
With a major
when
hike.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
Good to know. We have a very, very busy show coming up for you today at 10:30. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio will be joining us. We're going to be talking about the Supreme Court race between Brad Schimmel, Mr. Commemorative Coin Fan, and Susan Crawford, and something that he said that kind of got glossed over a little bit, referring to the results of the 2020 election, that I think is kind of important. And we're also going to talk with Pat about runaway seems to be the new GOP slogan when it comes to actually, I don't know, talking and appearing in front of their constituents.
Oh, yeah.
They're not happy.
Yeah.
They're not liking it. And so they're just not going to do it anymore.
It's gone from runaway to stay home.
Yeah, stay home. And yeah. So we'll talk about that with Pat Kreitlow. After the 11 o'clock news, Allison Madison is going to join us. She is the program manager for Wisconsin Saltwise. And we know that we've used salt in Wisconsin for a long time when things get icy and things like that. Unfortunately, a lot of that stuff runs off into our waterways. And so there are some alternates that municipalities are trying to get away from the salt a little bit. So Allison is going to talk to us about that in the last half hour of the show, as we always do. We will lighten things up a little bit. Today it's going to be, thanks, I'll pass on that. It's Punchki Day.
Yeah.
I drove by an O&H bakery in Racine this morning. It was crazy.
Of course.
It was more so than right before Christmas.
We'll talk about more later, but you said that a couple of times, and I have a thought on that.
Okay.
So stick around.
Yeah, it's Punchki Day, so that kind of got me on the idea of, yeah, that's fine. Not for me.
I'll pass.
So what is your, I'll pass on that. Everybody loves it. Everybody else, ooh, I can't wait to get one of X. And then you're like, yeah, no.
Are we talking only desserts today, or are we talking?
Today is dessert specific.
Dessert specific.
Dessert specific at 11:33. And we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the 911 emergency edition with a little audio extra included on that. So I hope you can stick around for that. Wanted to start off, though. We have been accused of fear-mongering.
Grr, everyone, are you scared of us?
When we talk about the Trump administration coming for Social Security. And I stumble across this little clip. Elon Musk, co-president, appearing on the very popular Joe Rogan podcast. Mm-hmm. Calvin, I believe we have a clip from Elon Musk talking about Social Security. Can we play that clip, please?
Well, I mean, the government's one big permit scheme, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, you can tell me better than anybody.
Social Security is the biggest Ponzi scheme of all time.
The biggest Ponzi scheme of all time, co-president Elon Musk saying about Social Security. Of course, this as calls continue to increase about removing contribution caps for really, really, really rich people like him.
Mm-hmm. Who fulfill their cap in like a day.
I bet he does it in a couple hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the cap is $164,000.
I believe so, yeah.
That's where, if you don't get how this works, you pay up to $164,000 mm-hmm. into social. That portion is taxed for Social Security. Anything beyond that is not.
And I think Elon is using the Ponzi scheme comparison, because you and I spoke about this before the show started, and people my age and younger can see why you'd want to call it a Ponzi scheme. I mean, he's not wrong in how he describes it.
As far as the structure is concerned.
The structure is we pay into Social Security. If I pay into Social Security every Friday, every other Friday, those checks are going out. I don't know when, but they go out immediately after that.
To someone.
To someone else.
Right.
So there can be a notion of robbing Peter to pay Paul and the insolvency issue. But the problem is we've known that Social Security has had problems for decades. And anytime we try to put forth a solution, like raising caps on millionaires and billionaires, then they just want to talk it down. They want to say things like this. It's a Ponzi scheme. Okay, well, where's your fix? So it's fine. You can go on Joe Rogan and talk about how bad it is and what the problem is. But what are your long-term solution fixes to the problem? Not just sitting there talking about it. And this, because it's something I think about all the time now. Because, I mean, I don't expect to have at this time anything anymore, because they're going to be cutting.
By the time you get old enough to retire.
Yeah, if I retire by, let's just say, 68 years old, I'll have very little or nothing there. And I'm really wondering, I've said it before on the show, is I'm wondering people my age and younger if we have grounds for a lawsuit, because I've invested 35 years of my work life into Social Security as an agreement. And if there's nothing there, then can I get it? I'd like a check, reimburse me something, because this is ridiculous. But I get where you're saying, and it's a good, honestly, I think it's a good comparison, but that's just words. Where are your solutions? And if cutting is your solution, no.
Well, it's interesting that you say, where's your solution?
Yeah.
Because it just turns out we have a clip from Senator Bill Cassidy.
Ah.
On how we can solve the Social Security issues. Calvin,
can't wait.
Let's play this clip, please, from Senator Bill Cassidy.
Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy responded, "The Social Security Trust Fund will run short in 2033. If we do nothing, 8 years from now, all beneficiaries will be hit with a 24% cut. I have a big idea to fix the problem, create a trust fund, and invest in the U.S. economy. Capitalism and hard work can save us."
Now, wait. That's the answer? Capitalism and hard work is the answer to fixing Social Security.
Or there's a trust fund we put into? I thought Cap, correct me if I'm wrong, Social Security is the trust fund that I have put my money in through working in a capitalistic society and working hard since the age of 12. So Cassidy is really just saying, he's rebooting Social Security. It's like a really, no one asked for the reboot of Dirty Dancing and no one wants this. So explain to me, Senator Cassidy, what that in fact means.
Well, right, in practical, actually actionable things.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of words.
Yeah.
It's just lots and lots of words.
I have an idea. Okay, I have an idea to solve Social Security.
Yes.
First, we find a bag of beans. Then we go to a local market and we try to find some, you know, maybe shady salesman and say, hey, do you want to trade these beans for, like, you know, a cow? And then I'm telling the story backwards, but still, it's Jack and the Beanstalk. The point is like, we can say whatever we want. We can just say a bunch of things. Capitalism will save us. How?
Well, exactly. This is an article from Yahoo Finance. Employees contribute 6.2% of their wages up to a maximum of $176,100.
Yeah.
And U.S. employees match that. Employers match that as part of their non-wage labor costs. This is known as the pay-as-you-go system. But again, if they just raised that cap of $176,000, that would probably give Social Security a pretty healthy boost.
And I'm not even asking them to make it like relative. Like 176?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say people like Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, and $1 million is nothing to him. It's nothing to him.
Rich, seriously.
Raise his to $1 million. Raise all billionaires to $1 million from where it is. They'll never miss the money. They'll never see the money. They'll never know the money was there or gone. Just raise to $1 million. Holy cow. That'll fix it. I'll pay a little bit more if need to. Like, let's all do this together as a cooperative. I'm sorry, I said cooperative. Didn't mean communism, folks.
That's socialist of you.
But, like, are they looking to raise, are they looking to take away the caps and just say, like, all right, Elon, you make $10 billion a year. Now you have to put $1 billion in? I don't even want that. Just make it $1 million for someone like him. A percent of a percent of a percent of a percent.
Ron Wyden, who is a Democrat, said DOGE's attack on Social Security, in my view, is a first step on the path to privatizing Social Security. Democrats have also blasted Musk's characterization of Social Security as a Ponzi scheme. Quote, Elon Musk says it's a Ponzi scheme. The richest man in the world is telling Americans that earned benefits they depend upon and they paid into are a scam. They are not a scam, and Americans know it. That's from Chuck Schumer.
I understand where he's coming from, Chuck, but you have to talk to younger people. They do see it as a Ponzi scheme.
Calvin is our resident young person here. Calvin, I'm curious. Social Security?
Do you think you'll ever get it?
Does this ever come up among you and your friends?
To be completely honest with you, Social Security is one of those things that I don't know if I would take it for granted is the right word, because I never received it, but it's just kind of those things. Well, yeah, part of your paycheck disappears to it and you'll get something when you retire. And that's as much thought as I put into it.
Kind of this amorphous thing out there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
I think that Chuck Schumer is correct in how he's framing it, but he has to say it better to younger people. And he also has to come with a viable solution. Not,
it can't just be a capitalism and hard work is going to fix it.
I can't buy a sandwich with capitalism. I can buy a sandwich with money. How are you going to make me have money when I'm old? And 2033, that is 8 years away. I will be 55, far away from the age of retirement.
If you'd like to join the conversation, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is flawed about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Kerrigan Brothers Winery in Kaukauna, Stillmank Brewing Company in Green Bay, Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, and Old Bavarian Brewing Company in Appleton. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvi Tini on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewer spring training is underway. Crew taking on the A's this Thursday, 7.05 p.m., You can listen on several of our Civic Media Brewers affiliates, including WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, and WBZH in Hayward. The Crew and the A's this Thursday night. Little preseason action at 7.05 p.m. Right before the break, we were talking about Social Security co-president Elon Musk on the Joe Rogan podcast, talking about how Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. And it's got to go, apparently. So we're taking your calls, taking your comments about Social Security, how that has affected your life. Cassandra on the live stream says, my dad died when I was five. I received his Social Security. It helped my mom survive. Now she relies on it to pay her own bills. And I think there are a lot of folks that are in that same position. Of course, there have been suggestions that all we have to do is raise the cap. The cap right now is $176,100. That's what you, if you, up to that point, you are paying 6.2% on that to fund Social Security. And after that, it's all free and clear. So I don't see why guys like Elon and Jeff Bezos and some of those folks in that upper stratosphere that the vast majority of us will never see should not have to pay a little bit more.
That's one way they actually could, like, they could say, look, take $2 million of my money every single year and put it into Social Security. I'm not going to take Social Security. I don't need it. There's one small, tiny way to give back. Just one. And it's directly through the government, too. It's not charity. It's, hey, let me invest a little bit more. Perfect.
855-752-4842. If you'd like to join us, Linda from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Linda. Thanks so much for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Hello. Yes. It's about Social Security. You know how people, unless they experience something, they don't really know the full experience of it. You know, Social Security, the word, is said so often, we forget the second word, and that's security. I have been receiving Social Security for about 8 years now, and I want everybody to get it. I want our young people to get it. Once you get to that point where you start collecting it, it really means something to you. It is what it is. Security, I know that it's not as much. Many people living on that alone have a very hard time. But even this talk of not having it, it just, it makes me sad. Everybody should have it. Wait till you get to the age where you can collect it. It will mean a lot to you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Linda. Really appreciate the call.
And when we hear from people like you, Linda, and a couple weeks ago we had this discussion, we heard from so many of you folks talking about what it means to have Social Security. I think one of the other big problems is that all of these individuals we're hearing from are all people who will never need Social Security in their entire lives. These are people who are
you mean people like Elon?
Elon, senators, congressmen, other business people, presidents, anybody who has got more value than maybe, say, $5 million to their name, they'll be fine without Social Security, but they're giving us all the solutions we need, like hard work and capitalism.
Well, I have one personal experience with someone who said himself that he had more money than God.
God has a lot of money.
He would share that with his coworkers. Yeah, I have more money than God.
Yeah.
Trust me, nobody wanted his Social Security more than that man.
I know, but there's a difference between being, like, you know, popular and being cheap. But, like, all these people we see on TV, most of them will never need a dime of it.
And this guy didn't need a dime of it either.
They're not people who should be proposing the solutions either. I don't want to listen to Elon Musk's ideas on Social Security.
Kathy from Whitefish Bay is on the line. Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say about Social Security?
Two things I want to say. One, we should think about upping the cap for the salary for collecting Social Security.
Okay.
Instead of just talking about getting things out. And the other thing is, if you wanted to look for more revenue, you should get rid of the loophole for carried interest forward. I think both of those would increase the revenue. The other thing I want to say is I received a flyer yesterday for Brad Schimmel.
Yep.
Not one thing on that flyer said anything about him. It said you need to elect him to make sure that Trump's agenda can happen. And it was a picture of him getting up from the Butler assassination. It only told me about Trump and told me how bad Susan Crawford was.
But nothing about Schimmel.
That's the way nothing about Schimmel.
I think I got that same thing delivered to my house, too, yesterday, Kathy.
Appreciate that,
Kathy.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's interesting. Why is he not touting his support for the 1849 abortion ban? I mean, come on, Brad.
Where's the flaw, Brad?
Own it.
Yeah.
Embrace it, yeah. Brad. Come on. We're going to talk more about Brad Schimmel and the whole runaway GOP attitude now that they're having constituents show up who are not entirely happy with them.
No.
That's after the 10:30 news. Jack from Miramax has been very patient. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. A couple things about Social Security. First of all, it is technically, by the law that established it, it's not really supposedly a pension program. It is old age insurance. And if you pay into any kind of an insurance, you expect that when you're eligible to receive it, you get the payment back out.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, people need to understand this. We've got all of these legislators that are screaming and yelling about Social Security. We got to cut it because we have to cut the national debt and we have to cut the deficit. By law, Social Security is a separate trust fund that cannot be counted towards the deficit nor the debt. Not only that, but the facts are that, you know, all that debt and that money, a lot of that is being borrowed annually from guess where? The Social Security Trust Fund.
Yep.
And finally, if we reached about 400 and some odd thousand dollars that people would pay in, that would stabilize it for the foreseeable future.
Thanks a lot, Jack. Appreciate it. We are up against the clock. News is coming up next. Pratt Kreitlow will be with us when we return. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on the vast statewide, countrywide, we're global if you carry the app, baby, Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
There's trouble, but there won't be.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Green Bay Alderman Chris Weary, who has served the city for 23 years, says he will announce his resignation at the council meeting tonight. Weary, in a social media post, said he's moving from his district to a home where he can better take care of his wife, who has MS, and his mother, who is also dealing with health issues. His last day with the city will be May 6th. People who wish to serve the remainder of his term will be able to apply for the position, and the city council will vote on a replacement at a later date. A Wisconsin Republican congressman has introduced legislation that would repeal a federal program that provides funding to states to build their electric vehicle infrastructure. Wisconsin was awarded over $78 million through the Biden administration to develop fast-charging stations across the state. So far, $23 million has been allocated for 53 of those stations. The bill from Congressman Tony Weed could cost Wisconsin about $55 million allocated for the EV chargers. President Donald Trump's tariffs have officially taken effect, and these tariffs and trade disputes can affect us in many ways here in Wisconsin. Brittany Merlot tells us more.
First off, several steel shipments arrive at the port of Milwaukee, which are destined for Wisconsin businesses. The new steel tariff will increase costs on these businesses by 25%. We are also a significant exporter of soybeans. Retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. exports could negatively affect our soybean farmers. And the state still exports over $10 billion in manufactured goods. These producers are doubly hit as they will face the steel tariffs as well as the retaliatory export tariffs. The Libertarian Party of Wisconsin believes that free trade is fair trade and that trade wars only hurt consumers.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Some fun moments during Sunday's Oscar broadcast included Queen Latifah looking like she wore a parachute to the event during her nice tribute to Quincy Jones. There was also Adrian Brody, who won his second Best Actor Oscar for his performance in the nearly four-hour-long film The Brutalist, and his acceptance speech was almost as long. There was Timothy Chalamet, who some thought was the odds-on favorite for Best Actor, dressed in a bright yellow pantsuit. Luckily, it's Hollywood, and the people around him were already wearing sunglasses. It's always exciting when history is made at such a big event. Honora writer-director Sean Baker won four Oscars for the film, becoming the first person ever to win four Academy Awards for the same film. The critically acclaimed director took home trophies for Best Original Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture. He is also the film's producer, and he won an Oscar for Best Editing. Honora was the talk of the night as lead actress Mikey Madison won Best Actress, giving Honora five Oscars out of six nominations. Not a bad Sunday. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Rain rolls in this afternoon and ramps up tonight, bringing around 1 to 2 inches of rainfall, which could cause some localized flooding or ice jams on rivers. It starts to mix with snow tomorrow morning, flipping to all snow by the afternoon. Accumulations look light, around 1 to 2 inches. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll talk about Secretary of Defense Hegseth requiring a What Did You Do Last Week list from civilians, and Luke Mathers is in for Tuesday Tangents. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you live from her studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform shedding more users than a husky blowing its winter coat. He is back from Up North News Radio. Pat Kreitlow is here. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you guys?
We are good. Glad to see you. Glad to have you join the show. All kinds of things we are going to kick around for the next half hour. And we did want to spend a little time, Pat, right before you joined us, we were talking about Social Security and co-president Elon Musk now calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme and hearing from lots of people about just how important it is to their lives. For one thing, nobody's getting rich on Social Security.
No, no. And when you talked about, Elon Musk won't miss $1 million, I read and I want to substantiate it at some place, but he makes roughly $7 to $8 million a day in taxpayer handouts. He is one of the nation's leading welfare queens, if you want to use that kind of pejorative. That's the person you need to be looking at first, not some veteran, not somebody on disability, nothing like that. And by raising the cap, which we can do very easily, we can solve the concerns of anybody like Calvin, who at some point in the next 20 years is actually going to start paying attention to this thing, and everybody else who is all, we're never going to get it. It'll be gone. My generation thought that too.
Yeah.
My generation looked at what Ronald Reagan was doing and saying, oh, there won't be any Social Security. There will be, so long as there are trustworthy public servants in there willing to find a way to make it happen so we don't go back to the epidemic of old age poverty that we used to have in this country.
It's interesting. This broke too right before we were getting on, just as we were getting on the air this morning. You know, they made a whole bunch of cuts already at the IRS. And the story I saw this morning said that what the Biden administration had done when they added those IRS agents was they used those to focus on the really wealthy people who have the lawyers to find the loopholes, to find them different ways to cheat. Well, now they're getting rid of that. So if they can continue to game the tax system, then I don't see why we can't raise the cap.
100%. Because it's very easy to be negative, to say Social Security won't be there, or, oh, there's an army of IRS agents coming after me. If you get past the talking points put forward by the people who are trying to dodge taxes in the first place, you'd see that what the Biden administration did was what you just said. Hire, yes, many more agents, but also many more people at the IRS who made customer service run more smoothly. Mm-hmm. Now it will be tougher to get through to the IRS with tax questions.
Yes.
And it will again lead people to go, oh, the government is broken. I can't believe how bad it is. Which again comes back to what has been one of my mottos for the longest time. Those who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. They want it to fail, and this has become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, one of the things that we were talking about as well is, you know, Elon went on Joe Rogan's podcast and simply called it a Ponzi scheme with no real solution added. And then,
same as Ron Johnson.
Right? Yeah. But Calvin, can you pull up that clip of Senator Bill Cassidy giving one of the most nothing answers in the history of man about the how to fix Social Security? Calvin, can you hit that?
Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy responded, the Social Security Trust Fund will run short in 2033. If we do nothing, 8 years from now, all beneficiaries will be hit with a 24% cut. I have a big idea to fix the problem, create a trust fund and invest in the U.S. economy. Capitalism and hard work can save us.
What does that even mean?
Yeah. I thought that's
It's word, 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 lots and lots and lots of words.
Yes.
He just described Social Security.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is they want to break something because it feeds into that narrative that all things government must be broken. And then we're supposed to trust them
right.
to fix it. And what they would create would look the same. And look, folks, we already have a model for this. The Affordable Care Act. How often did we hear repeal and replace? Repeal and replace. Repeal and replace. We said, okay, what's your replacement? I have concepts of a plan.
Oh, man.
Is where we've left off. If you don't have, it's very simple. This is very simple, folks. If anybody is trashing Social Security and you say, what is your plan, your actual plan, not, oh, a little bit of elbow grease is going to get this done. No, no, no. What's the bill look like? Draft the bill. God knows they draft bills for everything else out there.
Seriously.
Mostly targeting the trans community, but that's another discussion. They know how to write a bill. So write the bill.
Yeah.
Write the bill.
Write the bill. Yeah, and put it in actual, I don't know, like you said, actionable things. Actionable things, not just lots of word salad about capitalism and hard work.
Let's see what you're going to do. It comes back to a recent comment by Derek Van Orden saying, oh, I would never allow Medicaid or Social Security to be touched, but we are going to make all these cuts. They always hide behind the number. We're going to cut $2 trillion. They won't tell you what, and then they say, well, I never said
right.
we were going to cut Social Security and Medicaid.
Right.
Like, we can't connect the dots.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that like those cuts are going to come from somewhere, and they're going to come from their favorite places. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act. And the you want to see angrier town hall meetings? Tack those three onto the Social Security that people are worried about right now. You tack on Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act. They are going to rush those buildings they work in.
Well, and that's why they're not going to do them anymore.
We've solved that problem.
Yes.
We have solved that problem of angry town halls.
Yeah.
We just stop having them.
We're just not going to do them. Exactly. And this actually came out. The chair of the NRCC, Richard Hudson, dramatically told members that no one should be doing town halls. Likening it to 2017, protests at town halls and district offices are going to get even worse. So just don't do them. Yeah, run away, guys. Run away.
Well, the problem is that if you go to a place like myvote.wi.gov,
yes.
you can put in your address and you can find out their field offices. You can find out their home offices. You can find out their Washington, D.C. or Madison offices. The problem is it's very hard to hide when you are a publicly elected official. So they might not be going to the library for the town hall meeting. Well, Derek Van Orden, perfect example. Decided not to show up.
Right.
And just moved it.
Staffer.
And the people found out and went there.
And they did because, again, people want answers. They deserve answers
yeah.
from their member of Congress. Keep in mind, nobody said to be violent.
Right.
Don't even come close to it, Derek Van Orden on the Capitol grounds on January 6th.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, don't come anywhere near that. But show up. Let your voice be heard. And then once you've registered that so that they know where you stand, well, then maybe focus on who else might be better to represent you in Congress mm-hmm. the next time around.
Yep.
And I also think this is a great opportunity for Democrats to use this to their advantage. I don't know why they aren't all doing town halls in these deep red communities where the Republicans won't go because they're afraid.
Well, because again, then they're left to defend essentially the current system and the whole wave of voter anger, not just in the U.S., but around the world these days has been that
with the incumbent
system. Yeah, the current system is broken. And so they don't want to be perceived as standing for a broken system. All right, well, fine. Then again, kind of like what I just said about Republicans, write the bill. Well, then write out what you want to do that's going to change this current broken system for the better and start talking it up. And if you want a platform for it, I got one here at 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. or 6 to 8 a.m. I got shows all over the place where people can come on and say, you know what? Here's what we would do instead if Democrats were put in power, and it's not status quo.
Yep.
Pat Kreitlow is our guest from Up North News Radio. You can catch him every Monday through Friday, early shift from 6 to 8 a.m., and we are talking about town halls that Republicans aren't going to do anymore because people were unhappy with them. Glenn Grothman.
There it is.
From Wisconsin. Was on WISN's Upfront over the weekend. And, of course, now the whole narrative is they're all – George Soros is paying everybody, Pat. I'm waiting. But apparently George Soros is paying all these protesters. They're all paid protesters who showed up at these town halls over the last week with lots of unhappy constituents. One guy who was being interviewed by Nicole Wallace on MSNBC said, if they were going to pay a protester, don't you think they'd pick someone younger and more better looking than me?
It's the hottest protest I've ever seen in my life.
But Glenn Grothman weighing in with his take on these less than warm town halls. Calvin, can we play that clip, please?
Confirm.
Before you go, Congressman, I want to ask you about your town halls up in the Fox Valley last week. When was the last time you saw packed rooms like that?
It's not something that we have had lately. Obviously, with the new presidency, I think there's a lot of anger among some Democrats. But I can tell you, if you didn't look at the town hall, if you just went to the Friday night fish fries I attend, or the fundraisers for the schools or various service groups, overall, we got very positive feedback on what we're doing in Washington.
He does love those fish fries and those pancake breakfasts.
I think there's something really interesting, though, he says there. If you don't look at the town halls, don't pay attention. That problem isn't in the room anymore. It's gone. Magic. Just go to the places where people are having good food and having fun. You know, the kind of place where someone's going, a crowd of people are going to confront a congressman like a Friday fish fry. That's so disingenuous to say, don't look at what the problem. Have some pancakes.
Yes. You don't just get to go to, you know, the friendly places. I mean, you can, but
yeah,
what good are you then? I mean, I certainly, as a state senator in a purple district, went to plenty of places where there were plenty of people that wanted to bend my ear.
I bet.
And where we had to have, you know, a friendly discussion, kind of like what I tried to have with some of our Facebook commenters this morning to say, look, let's look for the common ground on here. But instead, if you want to be like people commenting on Facebook right now saying, oh, it's just mostly bored government retirees. Well, if you want to live in that alternative reality, you're welcome to. But the rest of us have to deal with the real people out here making $65 a day on Social Security while Elon Musk is getting $8 million a day in SpaceX contracts through the federal government. We'd rather chase down where the real waste and fraud and abuse is.
Well, Pat, they're just agitators who are Democrats, so don't worry about that. But we had a discussion a couple weeks ago about this, and everybody who called in said that they needed their Social Security to survive. And even in some cases, they had to use their Social Security to decide on can they pay for heat or food.
Or
food,
meds.
Or meds. Meds mm-hmm. or rent. This is not money they're buying boats with. And these are real people in real situations who are having real problems. And I guarantee you, not every single person in those town halls were dyed-in-the-wool blue Democrats. These are people who are worried about a contract they signed when they first started paying into Social Security being broken by the government.
We've seen a lot of folks at those town halls who are all there. They're there because they were they're veterans.
Yes.
Or they're concerned about veterans' benefits and things like that. You can't tell me that all those people are only disaffected Democrats. I don't believe it.
Another would be farmers, for example, who are seeing their contracts broken, that they were going to get certain conservation payments. Some of those same farmers who are now going to get slammed because of the tariffs that started today as China, you know, gets its retribution on U.S. agriculture products. There are plenty of people who voted for Donald Trump who have been saying, if only to themselves, the past couple of weeks, this is not exactly what I was expecting. Maybe they don't oppose him yet, but there's a lot going. I kind of thought he was going to be more like a businessman, really look at the books and be, you know, again, a scalpel rather than a
chainsaw.
You mean like the first term?
Well, don't worry about it. Ron Johnson on the 25% tariffs that kicked in on Canada and Mexico. Ron says, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Oh. Get together with Susan Collins and make a T-shirt. Pat Kreitlow is here. We're going to continue our conversation. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY.
IZERVAY or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Hey, the draft is quickly approaching, and if you're looking to host a memorable party in a historic downtown venue, Heights Pub and Parlor in downtown Green Bay is your place. A full range of private event packages to accommodate your draft needs. It will be a phenomenal experience for you and your guests. Each package can be customized to match your specific vision, where the dedicated staff will bring it to life. Whether you're a corporation, business, team, agency, or just looking for a private event space, look no further than Heights Pub and Parlor. For more information, email Brian with a Y at heightsgb.com.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can catch Civic Media's special coverage tonight of the second Trump administration's joint address to Congress. It is tonight, beginning just before 8 p.m. all across Civic Media. Donald Trump addressing the joint session of Congress tonight. I'm sure Marjorie Taylor Greene will be there on her best behavior.
Wearing the nicest stuff.
Yeah, and she won't be screeching like a howler monkey. But anyway, Pat Kreitlow is here from Up North News Radio. And in the time that we have left, Pat, I want to talk a little bit about Brad commemorative coin fan Schimmel running against Susan Crawford. And boy, the Musk bucks are pouring into Wisconsin because all of these mailers are going out now, as one of our callers mentioned in an earlier segment. It's pro-Brad Schimmel. It doesn't mention him at all. It barely mentions Brad Schimmel. It's more about show your support for Trump's agenda.
Yes, it's a straight up attack piece combined with whatever metaphor you want to use to pledging his loyalty to Trump, whether you want to use boots or posterior or whatever the case may be. And he's telling us who he would be as a justice. He would be the kind of justice that would join with three other conservatives and who back in 2020 indicated that they might be willing to go along with Donald Trump's challenge of the election results in Wisconsin, which would have created a true constitutional crisis. Brad Schimmel's giving you no reason, none whatsoever, to think that he wouldn't be anything than what he was as Attorney General under Scott Walker. And that is just a rabid partisan. And he's playing this campaign by the rules that were written by Scott Walker and a Republican legislature back when they were in office. I would point folks to Dan Schaefer's Recombobulation Area, where he's got a guest column from Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, who outlines all the ways that Scott Walker and Republicans basically blew up any and all limits, contribution limits to Supreme Court races, allowing millionaires and billionaires to come in and support people like Schimmel, who has been courting millionaires and billionaires to donate, even though as a court candidate, as a justice candidate, he's not actually supposed to.
Yeah, not supposed to do that. Yeah, Elon, well, and as we learned yesterday, Elon has a stake in what some cases that might end up in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court regarding Tesla dealerships in Wisconsin. So Elon wants to make sure that his guy is going to be on the court to rule in his favor if and when these cases come before that body. And speaking of Brad Schimmel, we talked about this yesterday, and I missed this. This was in a Washington Post article. When Trump lost the 2020 election in Wisconsin, he challenged the results before the state Supreme Court. Of course, it was Brian Hagedorn who sided with the liberals in accepting the results of the election. Asked if he believed the Supreme Court ruled correctly, Schimmel paused for several seconds and said, quote, "You know what? To be honest, I didn't spend any time reviewing that. I've got a day job. I didn't go through that. I don't know the answer to what I don't know," unquote.
What a challenging day job that must be. Oh, yeah, as a judge.
It sounds
to not read up on the law and the biggest legal case before the country at that moment. Oh, you poor busy fellow.
He just didn't. It's like, that's the Hovde excuse.
Yeah.
Why would I study for this job before I get the job? I mean, come on, Brad. Be a little bit more creative than that.
Again, it's just a basic thing. It's just a basic litmus test. Who won the 2020 election? And if you waffle on that even in the slightest, you have no sense of having you cannot have earned any public trust at all if you can't say that most basic thing, because, you know, it might upset the king.
Sue from Franklin texting in, listening on WAUK. I got a flyer last week with Brad Schimmel, promoting Brad Schimmel. I wrote in big letters, "No way would I vote for this guy. These are all lies." Then I tore it in half, removed my name and address, and I mailed it back to where it came from.
I was saying to Jane, it must be amazing to have petty vengeance post money. Like here's my stamps to respond to my enemies.
I've got a little time. I could do that. You know, it's a price
look,
of a
civic
stamp.
Civic engagement comes in all forms, folks.
Sometimes we
vote.
Yes.
Sometimes we volunteer. Sometimes we write letters. Sometimes we tear up other people's mail and send it back to them. It all works.
Also, Liz from Saukville texting in. My husband and I went to a protest in Grossman's 6th District to protest Trump over the weekend. We were not paid. Yeah, I don't think most people were paid. Isn't there a general address we can write to George Soros and say, "Hey, you owe me a check"?
It just says on the letter, "Money, please."
See, please send me money.
Yeah, again, it's so easy to say, "Well, it's the billionaire on this side or the billionaire on that side." There's a great way to get around that, folks, and that's put the limits back in place so that millionaires and billionaires can't buy agitators if that's what they're really doing. We have ways to fix this.
And I just wish that Brad Schimmel would embrace his own positions instead of putting a picture on his flyers of Donald Trump or whoever. Put a picture of yourself embracing the 1849 abortion ban, Brad. Come on. You're all about that. You support that. You've talked about it in the past. Now you don't want to talk about it. Why is that? One wonders.
I know. It's like there's an election coming up. No, it couldn't be.
Pat Kreitlow, catch him every morning, weekday morning, 6 to 8 a.m. across the network on Up North News Radio. Thank you so very much, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Have a great day.
News coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Earl Ingram.
Welcome to Campaign for Lead Free Water with Governor Evers' efforts to address the lead issue. Following that, we will have Dr. Robert Craig join us to talk about Trump's discussion with Congress.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau speaking out about the 25% tariffs imposed by the Trump administration on Canadian goods.
Canadians are reasonable and we are polite, but we will not back down from a fight. Not when our country and the well-being of everyone in it is at stake.
Canada retaliating with tariffs on U.S. goods, also 25%. Stock market doesn't like it. The Dow is down 762 points this hour. President Trump will deliver an address to a joint session of Congress this evening. He is expected to talk about those tariffs and about the U.S. pausing all military aid to Ukraine. A tornado touching down near Shreveport, Louisiana this morning. Forecasters say thunderstorms will reach other parts of the state later today, just as Mardi Gras celebrations get underway. Public health officials will talk more today about the measles outbreak in West Texas. So far, 158 cases have been confirmed. One child has died. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa.